Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Arizona service. Let's get started. Karen, you ready? That's not the right rhythm. That was the wrong rhythm for that song. Karen, why did you play the wrong rhythm? Sorry, guys. Okay, here we go.
Principalities, stand it firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. We do not bow our knee to the Prince of the know the truth has set us free, and under our feet He will joyfully be crushed, and having done all, will stand in victory. Making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Our hearts are set apart for the courts of the Lord, and we will not be bought or sold. By His Spirit in us, we will overcome, pulling down every stronghold, making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory, making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Making war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory. Making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. That exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ.
Yeah, there's a reason you don't hear Karen. I forgot to unmute her mic. I'm batting 1,000 today, Karen.
Good choice, though.
There, hey, there she is. She is now in my ear. I was like, gosh, I can hear her right here, but
I couldn't hear myself, but I wasn't sure why.
It was planned that way, Karen. After last week, we just, that's it. You can stand up here, but we're just turning your mic off. No, that's not true at all. Just my screwing up. That, we're going to keep going, though.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Sing holy, holy, holy.
To see you
high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. See you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. See you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Yeah.
a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore and renew a right spirit within me.
Good morning, everybody. I want to read two scriptures. Psalm 37:37. Psalm 37, verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The next one is Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. This morning Brad and Philip were talking about correction and chastening. And something happened to me this week that was, I don't think I've ever seen it, the Lord work this way in my life. Usually it takes a 2x4 upside the head. If anyone knows me, they know that. it's not something I'm pleased with, by the way, but that just seems to be how the Lord works with me. But this week, there was an interesting situation. Rick's got Karen here helping make a bag. Well, I should say Rick's got Karen here making a bag for air gun stuff, which is another story. But it's taken quite a lot of thought and planning and discussion to figure out how to do it, which we've all been involved in. And the other night, it was, I don't know, it was late. Everyone was exhausted. And we were discussing the bag. And Rick had an idea, and he told us how he thought it should be made. And I asked Karen a question, something along the lines of, are you okay, or do you think you can do it, or something along those lines, because she looked like she was deep in thought, like really deep in thought. And she looked at me with an odd look, and then she said, I'm just going to do it the way he said to do it. And then it'll work out just fine. And it was a light bulb for me, because I had been, everything Rick had said, we should do it this way, we should try this, we should put it like this, etc. I had only seen the obstacles. I had only seen the downside to doing it that way. Well, if you do it that way, then you need to tighten it too tight, much tighter, because the weight of the bag's not going to, that's not going to hold the weight of the thing that's in the bag. And I mean, in my head, I went through all these things that it's just not going to work. And Karen's response was, do what he said. It'll work. And it was these two scriptures came to mind. You know, mark them. Mark those. Watch those who have an example of leading by example. Karen didn't have to say, look, Sue, you're being a really obnoxious wife. You need to just shut up and let your husband tell you what to do and just do it. She didn't say it. Rick said he's pretty sure Karen was thinking it. And I'm pretty sure Karen wasn't. Knowing Karen. The point is, the Lord, Karen didn't have to tell me not to be the way I was. The Lord showed me through Karen's actions. By Karen just knowing what is right to do and doing it, whether she understood it, liked it, I could tell that her flesh was uncomfortable in the situation, that she didn't feel confident in the thing, but she didn't care about that. She walked by example, and she showed me that I wasn't doing that. You know, if you can receive the correction and then just do it. Don't argue. Don't try and figure out a better way. Don't think you know better than the person giving you the counsel. Just do it. The Lord is in that, and He will bless it. And then you need to forgive yourself. You need to get over the, oh, well, I screwed up. Because I tell you what, when I saw how far I had failed as a wife, I wanted to curl up in a ball and have a pity party about, well, I'm not as good of a, you know, I know what's right to do, and I didn't do it. There were so many lessons in that for me, and I chose not to wallow in it, but to rather say, thank you, Lord, for Karen. Thank you for showing me that through her. Please help me to see it again and again until I'm through this. And then I watched a movie that had this line in it. There are some things for which I don't expect to be forgiven. And I started to cry because I thought, how sad is that? It went on. There are some things for which I don't expect to be forgiven, not by my children, not even by God. How sad is that? There is always forgiveness from Jesus Christ. And you can receive it if you choose to believe that it's there for you. You don't have to wallow in it. You don't have to be bound up by it and held to the past. You can move forward with your eyes firmly planted on Jesus Christ. But if your eyes are on that situation or on your weaknesses or on your failure, your shortcoming, you will never move forward because you're looking at you and not at Him. And I'm telling you now, you need to get your eyes off you, put it on Him, and thank Him for the correction He brings. Thank Him for showing you that you can turn to Him. Repent, turn to Him. That's grace. That's mercy. That is Jesus Christ. And He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your service.
Gosh, man, you know what's wrong with me today?
What's that?
God.
Pray tell, what is that?
When the light's on, it's muted. When the light's off, it's unmuted. My goodness.
Oh.
All right, so there's this thing called a mute button. Goodness. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, let's see if we can do this right, Karen. Ready?
Ready.
From the rising of the sun to the going down.
Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth, of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. Praise all your servants of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. His Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Here's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King.
One more time.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Here's Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King.
Good morning, everybody. I appreciate everyone out there enduring our snafus today. Sometimes you just goof up. Sometimes you don't want to. I mean, I didn't like start out this morning saying, how many ways, let me count the ways I can screw up the audio. Because I'm, you know, one or two just isn't enough. We're going to see how far we can take it. Last night I was eating dinner after being out all day hunting, and maybe I just got too much sun dust and consumed too much of that. And then, of course, thank you, Phil, for calling me at 6:15 this morning. That was awesome. I don't mind Phil calling me 6:15. He needed some help, and I was here to help him. No, it was my time. Fortunately, it was my time. Gosh, 3:15 in the morning. Now, that one might have had a different look on things, but that's all right. Anyway, so I'm having dinner with some guys. We're late. We're in Seligman. We're having dinner. And they've got that little game where you have the little pegs and you're supposed to jump it and you're supposed to have one left. You know, if you have one left, you're a genius. If you're two left, you're smart. If you're three left, you know, you're sort of borderline short school bus and so on and so forth. Well, there was one like, you know, where you have eight pegs left with no jumps. And we're thinking, gosh, how do you do that? You know, how can you screw up so bad that you have eight pegs left and you have no jumps? And that was our challenge. I mean, you know, one peg, let's see how we can do it with eight pegs left. Anyway, so that's sort of, I guess this morning I was just carrying that forward. How many ways can I screw something up? But the good thing about it is that if you don't take yourself too seriously, it doesn't really matter. You know, back there was some revivals Brother David preached, which were, if you guys remember, don't take yourself seriously, take God seriously and believe his word. You know, if you focus on that, then whether you're building a bag for an air gun thing or you're trying to homeschool or you're trying to figure out how to run a business, you know, every part of your life, you are imperfect. Did you know that? Every part of, I mean, just think about it, every, we got a solid amen over from Karen. Sorry, we got a solid, oh yeah, I guess that's like amen, I don't know. But every part of your existence is imperfect. Every single bit of it. Every bit. But that's expressly why Jesus died for you. Amen. So if Jesus died for you because you're imperfect, and have not we heard you can't disappoint him? How can you disappoint him when he knows you? Well, he at least knows your nature, doesn't he? Because he knows your nature is why he died. Because he knew we were imperfect and we could never be perfect. And that's expressly why he went to the cross in the first place. When we take ourselves seriously, it's when we forget that. As if we could be perfect. As we could do it right the first time. How's that bag going, Karen? Karen keeps telling herself, I'm not dismantling a bomb. Exactly. It's a bag. You know, if she makes it, praise God. If she doesn't make it, praise God. If it's perfect the first time, wow, awesome. It hasn't been. Just saying. If it takes 50 times, I don't care. You learned. I mean, the whole, gosh, you should see it. It's funny. So Karen gets this bag. She's putting this thing together. She's about done and realized it has to come all apart. Because the last piece to finish it needed to be done first. Or second or third, but not at the end. So this whole thing is just, it's a learning process. It isn't, I mean, isn't our walk with God that way, though? I mean, isn't it a learning process? Isn't it just a constant, whoop, don't go that way. That was a bad idea. Now, well, Karen says the good thing is the second time you know better. Hopefully, I hope that when you took it apart, you said, let me do this again and still get to that same spot and try and do it wrong again. That would be dumb.
Yeah, I changed up my mistakes.
Yeah, she did have rotating mistakes, but if we don't take ourselves seriously, that's okay. We're still moving forward. Amen? We're still moving forward. We're learning from that. The Lord's given us correction and adjustment as this whole process is about, yeah, that needs to move about 2 inches. Which meant to Karen, I got to take it all apart again. It needs to move 2 inches. I didn't know that when we were looking at it the first time. I can see it now, and it needs to move 2 inches. Take it apart. Do it again. Who cares, right? I mean, it's just cloth and time and thread and what's the big deal? What's the big deal, like, Sue, with your dealing with? What's the big deal with just doing what I said? I mean, why all the discussion? Why all the frustration? See, the frustration and discussion and having to do it a different way and always seeing things from the negative side is because you have taken yourself too seriously. You do take yourself too seriously. And when you're talking to your authority and they're giving you correction and instruction and all you want to do is argue, it's because you're taking yourself too seriously and you're not receiving the grace and correction that God has for you. Not because he's up there doing a jig because he gets to give you a hard time, but because he loves you, he is concerned for your well-being, and he wants to see you make it to the other side. It's because he loves you. That's it. I mean, I have a child. I'd love to say that I correct her only ever in the best, most perfect way. That's not true. But the correction that I give, I mean, there is a point. I try when I correct her to do it with the knowledge that this is for her good. When she's 9, 10, 12, 15, 18, 30. It's not just because I want to harass her and give her a hard time and deny her. And well, that's all evil intent. Does God have evil intent? Does God have malicious intent towards his children? No, we have malicious intent toward our children. God doesn't. And when we argue and we frustrate the correction of God, it's because we're imputing our own unrighteousness onto him. That's what's happening there. Oh, we serve a loving and caring and gracious God. He loves you. You remember at conference, if you haven't, if you weren't there, you can sort of listen to it. There's that question that went out, you know, do you love Jesus? Amen. Everybody's clapping. Woohoo. Does God love you? Ooh. Interesting, right? I mean, what more does he need to do? I mean, what more does Jesus need to do to prove his love to you? I mean, he went to the cross. Was that not sufficient? It was sufficient. Sufficient for me. I don't need him to prove anything else to me. That was more than enough to tell me and to show me that he loves me. The scripture, it was funny because all the stuff about chastening and whatnot, the scripture that was coming to, oh, come on, password protect my iPad. The scripture that was coming to me this morning was one out of Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews 12. And it was actually, you know, it was down there eventually, it was really thinking about Esau. Hebrews 12, we're going to start with verse 11. Now, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No kidding. But grievous Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth what? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Right, so we already know earlier in this chapter it talks about that God chastens those he loves and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Amen? Now he's saying, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I'll back up just one verse. Gosh, I don't want to back up too far. We'll be here all day. Oh, just go back to verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So what's the point of the chastening? That we be partakers of his holiness for our good. Now, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's not joyous and it seems grievous because at the time of the chastening, we are locked into a high-minded sense of self-importance and pride. That's why it's not fun. You understand that? When you are receiving the chastening and you're getting defensive and you're getting angry and you're getting frustrated and you want to argue and you don't want to do it, it is because you are in a state of high-mindedness and pride. If you put that aside and receive it and let the grace of God work through that, you'll through it in an instant. And that situation is resolved, it's over, and it's done, and you learn, just like Karen getting to the end of the bag, realizing she has to take it apart and start over. Well, now I have an opportunity. You can see it two different ways, right? You can get upset, mad, throw the thing across the room. That would be more my temperament at times. Or you say, well, it'll go better together next time. I mean, you could look at it. I mean, you got to do it. You're going to do it. So you can do it with joy and enjoy that process, or you can be all high-minded and pride and selfish and all the other things and be angry and frustrated the whole time. It's really your choice. Choose one. I choose the first one. That seems better. It's more fun. I mean, I worked with Steve for many years. And it was, you know, Steve was one of those guys, he sort of needs to see it, you know, to really wrap himself around. So you do it, and they say, that's not it. So you get to go redo it. That's not it. You get to go pretty soon after the third or fourth redoing, you're like, ah! In the end, what's it matter? Really, what's it matter if you have to do it again? Who cares? If you're doing something that is ultimately pleasing to those that you serve, what's it matter? What's it matter? And if you are having to learn things in the Lord and you're redoing things in the Lord, but it's a pleasure to him and it's pleasing to him in the end, it's a blessing to those around you and it's a blessing to your authorities, who cares? Right? Who cares? See, if you're high-minded and you think too much of yourself, you will care. And you'll lose out on the blessing. And you'll lose out. Cubs continues on. Excuse me. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Look at that. What happens if you don't? If you don't receive that chastening in the right way, what happens? Bitterness. See, if you don't nip that I'm so important bug right in the quick, if you don't deal with that and reject it and throw it away and put it off, the Bible talks about putting off that old man, putting off that old nature. If you don't truly put that off, now suppressing isn't putting off. Putting off is to recognize it's wrong and you don't want it anymore. Put it off. If you don't, it will grow bitterness in you towards your authorities, towards others in the body, and ultimately towards God. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it in myself. And the surgery required to remove that can in and of itself be painful. You don't want it. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau was the firstborn, was he not? And that right, he threw away for his belly. Do you want to throw away your birthright for the sake of your pride? For the sake of your being so important? For the sake of you taking things so seriously? I don't. Let me see if I can find this real quick here. I'm trying to find a verse and I'm not finding it. So there's a lot of references to this word though. Well, let's go to here. Let's see if this is it. No, I'll have to find it another day. But if you just run a quick search for the word froward, if you look for the word froward, God hates it. Naomi, pay attention. A froward mouth always has an answer that's contrary to the instruction it's been given. It denotes an attitude, and it's the opposite of humility. It is the embodiment of pride. Now, why is a froward mouth so bad? Why is it such the window into someone's heart? Karen nailed it. What proceeds out of the man's heart comes out of the mouth, or proceeds out of the mouth comes from the man's heart. That's right. That frowardness shows a spotlight into a person's heart, where they are. It shows a spotlight into your heart, where you are. And you can ask yourself, do I constantly have to argue? Do I constantly have to answer back? Is there not a space where I can just receive it and do it? If the answer is yes, well, that's between you and God. If the answer is that you constantly have to argue and you constantly have to answer back and you just can't seem to receive that which you're given, that's something you have to work out with God. You have the birthright, right? I mean, he died for you. Amen? You've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You gonna just throw that gift away like Esau did? I hope not. See, God's grace covers a lot. It covers everything it needs to. There's one thing God won't let in heaven. There's a few things, but there's one thing for sure he's not going to let in heaven again. And that's rebellion and pride. I'm not going to have it. He had that once. Never again. Never again. Pray and ask the Lord, help me get the right perspective, God. Help me get the right perspective of what's going on around me. And help me to learn how to receive and accept and embrace the fact that you love me and that, yeah, it's a correction. Yeah, it's a change of direction. And okay, there's some things I have to do. Who cares? If it's something that is pleasing to God, is that not where you want to be? If you're a child, don't you want to please your parents? Do you want to frustrate them at every turn? Or do you want to please them? Well, people, do you want to frustrate your Heavenly Father at every turn? Or do you want to please Him? Do you want to frustrate your disciples at every turn, or do you want to please them? Because to please them is to please God, you realize, right? Don't take yourself too seriously. Or seriously. Take God very seriously. And believe His word.
Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. Oh, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You've set my feet upon the rock. And now I know I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go.
Thank you guys for joining us this morning. May the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.